Our scripture reading for this evening's meditation is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we'll read the first 12 verses. Luke 24, beginning at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping, looking in, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The day of resurrection is a day of great joy for the church. Indeed, the Lord is risen, and it is a great blessing for us as we rejoice in that truth. But at the time of his death, it did not feel that way. There was confusion, there was grief, there was disappointment. We thought he had been rejected of God. In reality, he was loved of God for what he did. As we reflect on everything that happened then, it appears that no one really understood what had actually happened on the cross. The disciples were grieving and they went away to a private place. The women are crying and wishing that they could do something more in the way of caring for his body. We see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus making preparations for a burial. The Jews who were there at the time were grieving and going away disappointed. They thought maybe that this was, in fact, the Messiah, and now he's dead. The Jewish leaders remembered that he said he would rise, not that they believed him. So they tried to do whatever they could to prevent him. They have a seal placed on the tomb. They have guards set in front of the tomb. But nobody really seems to have understood what transpired. But then, on the third day, everything changed. It begins with an earthquake. Then there are angels who appear. One of them rolls the stone away and sits on the stone so that it can never be moved again. The Roman guards are terrified and they run away. And the Prince of Life, the Son of God, awakens from the dead. He rises from the grave. He has conquered death. He has crushed Satan's head. The wages of sin have been fully paid. Now, death can no longer hold him. Truly, it is finished. He rose. How wonderful. The way to heaven is now open once again. That way that was closed because of sin has now been opened again by the payment for that sin. He has conquered death. But not for himself, but for his people. Did you ever notice that nobody that we know of actually witnessed the resurrection? So how do we know that it really happened? Well, there is evidence. There are signs. Jesus revealed his resurrection, both by signs and by words. What signs did we see? The first one that the ladies who came to the tomb saw was that the stone was rolled away. Those who looked inside the tomb saw that the tomb was empty, other than the messengers who were sent to tell them that Jesus had risen. The grave clothes were laid aside because they were not needed anymore. We also have the testimony of several. Jesus himself foretold that he would rise on the third day. We read that in the passage we had tonight. And he did that in many other places, as we heard in the sermon this morning. We also have the testimony of the prophets. In Psalm 16, verse 10, he says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." And there's also references to Hosea and Isaiah 53. We have the testimony of the angels. They spoke to those who came to the grave, especially to the ladies, and said, "He's not here. He's risen, just like he told you he would." And finally, Jesus himself appears and speaks word of peace and comfort to his disciples. Finally, the disciples are willing to believe that he is truly risen. And as a result, this has become the central core of the preaching of the church. He is risen. Today I'd like to look with you at one of the signs, the rolled away stone. The church is often called to remember the great deeds of the Lord by setting up stones of remembrance. If you look to the Old Testament, you see many times that the people of the Old Testament would set up a stone to remind them of the great deeds that the Lord has done. For example, in Genesis 28, we read about Jacob fleeing from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. We see him, he's fleeing and he's traveling through the wilderness. And at one point, he stops, and he lays down, and he leans against a stone to sleep. And that night, God appears to him. He sees a dream of a ladder and angels going up and down on that ladder. And above that ladder is the Lord himself. And he promises that all this land would be for him and for his children. Jacob is overwhelmed. And in the morning, he sets up that stone that he slept against as a stone of remembrance. And he called that place Bethel, which is the house of God. He wanted to remember what the Lord had done. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, we read of how the Lord had delivered Israel from the Philistines. If you remember, the Philistines had had possession of the ark for about 7 months or so. And it caused nothing but disaster for them, so they sent it back to the Israelites. And now, as the Israelites have possession of it again, they gather together to be judged and to see what the teaching of the Lord would be. So as they are gathered to confess their sins, to get rid of their idols, Samuel is praying for them, but the Philistines, when they realize that the Israelites have all gathered together, they think that this would be a good opportunity to attack them and to wipe them out. But the Lord delivered them. The Philistines had a great storm of thunder and caused nothing but great confusion for them, and then the Israelites defeated them. And as a result, Samuel set up a stone of remembrance. He gave it a name too. He called it Ebenezer, which translates into, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." He wanted to remember what the Lord has done. In Joshua, we read that when Israel had crossed the Jordan to enter the promised land, the Israelites took 12 stones from the middle of that river, and when they reached the far side where they lodged that night, they set up those stones on the dry ground that they could be a monument to remind them and their children after them of what God has done. They wanted their children to remember what the Lord had done. Today we're looking at a different stone of remembrance, a gravestone that had been rolled away. It was the sign of the most important event that ever happened on earth, the sign of the resurrection. Behind this stone, the body of the Lord Jesus rested from his completed work of salvation until the earth was shaken and the angel came and rolled away the stone. This was the sign of God's faithfulness. Now this stone is our Ebenezer. We want to remember the great works of God. All the enemies of God's people have now been defeated. They were struck a fatal blow when Jesus cried, "It is finished." As we heard this morning, all the powers of evil were united against him on Calvary. The devil, mankind, death, and hell were all trying to destroy him. What did they gain? Nothing. The enemies of Christ have been put to shame. Even the Roman legionaries had to run away in fear. The Jewish leaders had to pay bribes and make up lies to cover the facts of his resurrection. But the truth is, Christ has risen from the grave. The Roman seal has been broken, and the Lord has been exalted. The rolled away stone is also a sign of God remembering his Son and his people. On Good Friday, it seemed as if God had rejected his Son. On the Sabbath day, it seemed as if he had forgotten his Son. But sometimes looks can be deceiving. The reality in this case is very different. The moment he died, heaven received him. Remember, he told the thief on the cross that this day you will be with me in paradise. God crowned him with honor and glory. On that Friday, it seemed as if God had forgotten those who were expecting the Messiah. It looked as if all those promises had been broken and would not be fulfilled. But in reality, he remembered them, and the stone was the mark that he would dry all of their tears. It looked like all of his promises of salvation had been thrown to the ground. But, in fact, the Lord did remember his promises. He fulfilled his word when he commanded the angel to roll away the stone. That stone preaches God's faithfulness. Christ rose from the dead. The stone has been rolled away. When we look around us, we see sin and death. When we even look at ourselves, we see corruption. We are inclined to forget what God has done. The rolled away stone is there to remind us that he is risen. Sin and death have been defeated. We need to remember that he has overcome death, sin, and the devil. In the second place, the rolled away stone is also a sign that Jesus is the truth. If that stone had not been rolled away, there would be no hope for us. He would have been like a shining star that disappeared into the storm of Good Friday. It would have been said that he had many interesting things to say, but they contained a mixture of truth and emptiness. He said more than once that he would rise again after the third day, but that would have proven to be a great error. He would just have been a great teacher with good things to say and lead a praiseworthy life, but was not the truth. He could never be the Savior from sin and death because he had become a victim of it himself. If the stone had not rolled away, he could not have risen. What then would his words mean? It is finished. What tells us that what he said is true? He said that he was the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How do we know that his death saved and protected his people? What shows us that his sacrifice was accepted by heaven? The answer lies here in the rolled away stone. That is the God-given sign of the reality and of the resurrection. The resurrection proves that Christ's sacrifice was accepted by God. The resurrection is the evidence of his victory. The symbol of that resurrection is the rolled away stone. It shows that he was, in fact, all that he claimed to be. He completed the work of a mediator foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Think of Moses. When the people were at Mount Sinai, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was dark clouds. They were afraid. They were afraid to talk to God. They were afraid that they would be consumed if they talked to God. So they pleaded with Moses to be their mediator, to go up to the mountain. So Moses went up, and he was the mediator between God and man. And he came back to the Israelites with a message. God is willing to be your God. He is willing to be gracious. Think of the high priest. He went into the Holy of Holies only once a year and only with the blood of the sacrifice in his hands. He interceded with God, pleading with God to forgive the sins of his people. He came back with a message that God is willing to forgive. Now, look at the one who is greater than Moses, the one who is the great high priest. He entered into the presence of God with his suffering, through his suffering, and there he presented his own blood. Now he comes back with a message. There is forgiveness and reconciliation through my blood. God is willing to be gracious. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. This truth became the cornerstone on which the disciples based their preaching. The New Testament continually refers to the resurrection. All that we do spiritually is based on the fact that Jesus is risen. And that is why the preaching comes with power. The rolled away stone symbolizes that sinners can now find salvation. In Romans 6, verse 5, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." When his people are united with him, they not only die with him, but they rise with him. Their old man died with Christ on the cross. He died for them, and they died with him. When God begins a good work in you. He does it by revealing your sins to you. In response, you grieve because of these sins and cry out for mercy. You realize that you cannot stand before a holy God. You need to die yourself. Your old man needs to be put to death. You need to rise again in a new life of obedience. This new life is in our regeneration. But it is also a daily process of putting our old life to death, putting off the old man and putting on the new. Finally, the old man will be completely dead when we breathe our last. Then it will be really true that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. But in this life, we will continually struggle against the old man. Sometimes a Christian may have periods of stagnation or even regress. Sometimes it can go so far as to seem that there is no work of grace ever begun in the heart. Yet, because of the work of grace symbolized by the rolled away stone, there is still a difference between their old life and the new man. They have been made new in Christ. They may fall into sin, but they cannot live in it. Sometimes when they look at themselves, a Christian may not even dare to say that he is on the way to heaven. But the Spirit will show them their part in Christ and what he has done for him. Their hope is in him alone. Do you know what it means to be in Christ? Do you know what it means to be united with him in his death and resurrection? He washes us from our sins and renews us by the power of his resurrection. You who are dead in sins can only be made alive in him. If you are one of God's people, rejoice that you are on your way to Zion, for he declares to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. John 11:25. John testifies in Revelation 14 that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from now on. And Paul concludes, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you now as we have heard your word, and we rejoice in that salvation and wrought by Christ Jesus on the cross, and how it was confirmed by his resurrection. O Lord, what an amazing thing that is. And O Lord, for us it means that there is indeed eternal hope, an assured hope, for nothing can prevent the salvation of your people. We pray now that you'd be with us and continue to bless us in your word, that we would think on these things, that we would meditate on them, and that we would be comforted and blessed by it. Be with us, we pray, and bless us for good. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.